This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. DJ Applejuice Kid and musician Pierce Freelon just got back from Ethiopia, where they dropped in on a beat-making lab that they set up earlier this year. Back in June, they began teaching students the essentials of mixing music and making beats. On this latest trip, they partnered with the Chapel Hill nonprofit IntraHealth and worked with their students to make music with a focus on health. Joining us now in the studio, Stephen Levitin, the Applejuice Kid, and Pierce Freelon. Welcome back to both of you. Good to have you here.
Great to be back.
Yeah.
Tell us about this trip. So what led you to Ethiopia? Tell us about that, Pierce.
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday we were at this IntraHealth event celebrating a conference they do annually called Switchpoint. And our journey to Ethiopia actually started in like April of 2012 at the very first Switchpoint conference, where they're bringing like innovators and technology people. And, you know, Michael Tiemann was the keynote speaker, the first one. He's, you know, one of the founders of Red Hat. And, you know, we were presenting about our very first beat-making lab, which was in Democratic Republic of Congo. And we made all these connections at that conference, one of which was with Good Magazine, Good.is. And it was through Good, after we got back from Congo and we released our first, you know, video content from that, that we connected with PBS. So we've been doing this PBS web series all throughout 2012 and then 2013 rather, and in the second Switchpoint conference, which was the following April, we met the leadership of IntraHealth Ethiopia, and we had this great idea that we'd piloted in Senegal, which was about health beats. You know, how can we use beat making to raise consciousness about health issues like family planning? And there was a big conference that November, so you know, it all kind of came together through IntraHealth and through Switchpoint, who've been great partners of ours from the very, very beginning of Beatmaking Lab.
So you had already, then you set up a lab, right? Or, were these kids working on other beats when you came back for this last trip? Had it already been set up, or did you set up the lab this time?
We set up the lab in June.
Yeah.
We had help from the local IntraHealth office and some great community leaders who, they have these clubs where youth go to, and we had a bunch of different clubs submit youth that were passionate about making music and making beats. And for 2 weeks in June, we set up a beat-making lab. And ever since June, they've been working on music. So when we went back just a few weeks ago, we heard the progress, what they've been doing. We heard the good and the bad and how we can improve. And it was our first time following up in person with a lab, which was great.
So what are the parameters? Was this structured around health right from the start in terms of the beats that they were going to create?
Well, the first thing we do is just, you know, connect and build with the students and teach them some of the technical elements of beat making. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's first. And then we engage them through like writing exercises and, you know, through open community discussions to start wrapping our minds around some of the health issues. So, you know, one day we did a writing workshop where I asked them to write down some of the most important kind of health-related things that have happened in their lives. This one young woman wrote this amazing poem about a mother dying during childbirth because she didn't have access to a healthcare facility. And then Applejuice took that poem and composed music around it, and that was one of the beats and one of the episodes from our web series. And then, so that, you know, the beat making was first as far as curriculum is concerned.
And how are the students chosen?
We always prefer to have a local contact choose a student. So we really give one directive. Like, we just want passionate, dedicated students. No musical background is necessary. And there were some great people, Munit and Mohammed, who have a company called CARE in Ethiopia. And their main focus is curating youth around experiences. And IntraHealth put us in touch with them. And that's how we got the students, which are like our family now. It's like, yeah, we love them, and it was really fun going back there to connect.
And there were two Music Mayday and Save Your Generation. Those were two of four clubs that we recruited students from, and that's where our equipment is today. It's at a place called Music Mayday, which is just like any community center around here that is music focused, and Save Your Generation, which is actually focused on health issues, primarily family planning and AIDS. But they have a music studio there where we've, you know, that's where our beat-making lab is.
So you talked about this young woman who tells you a story, and then Applejuice, you kind of create a beat around it and compose this thing. So ultimately then the goal is to have them do all of that, right?
Yeah, so there's two songs made in a beat-making lab, one that I normally do the majority of the work in while they observe, and that's usually with a well-known artist. Munit, one of the organizers, is also a famous singer in Ethiopia, and she was singing on the track with Marta. Then there's a second song called Des Yelal, and that is completely done by the students. This one, when you listen to it, there's a video for it. It's really experimental. You know, you can hear the different pieces and the different arrangements. It wasn't just one student that made it. It was a collection of all
like,
of them.
There's a masenko in there, like traditional, you know, Ethiopian stringed instrument in there. And, it, you know, the rhythms. If you go watch the PBS web series, you can see the beat kind of being constructed piece by piece. But, man, great vibes on that one.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Des Yelal. Is Des Yelal?
Des Yelal, yeah.
He's called Des Yelal, one of the a little bit of the output from the Ethiopia Beat Making Lab. Applejuice Kid and Pierce Freelon are here, just back from Ethiopia, where they worked with IntraHealth and the lab to create those beats that had movements. There were separate identifiable movements in that piece, and also to my ear, something that sounded like it might have been traditional music mixed in with hip hop.
Yes, there's an instrument, like Pierce said, called the masenko. And also the type of singing that was happening was a traditional type of singing as well. So, yeah, it was a mashup, mix-up of everything that the students brought to the table. And really, it's more of a collaboration. You know, yeah. We're just vibing out and trying to figure out what the best piece of music is.
And you'll see in the video, you'll see traditional dance, too. And really, I think the music and the different movements in the music are reflective of the different personalities in the class. There were people with just different interests, different backgrounds that wanted a different direction for the song. And so we had like 16 minds that were trying to gel into one direction. And, you know, so in order to create what you just heard, and I'm still, I don't know about y'all, I'm still bouncing. That was like, that's one of my favorite songs.
Well, we really held together, but I could hear the discrete movements. And I wonder how much of that is traditional. In other words, is there that kind of composition in Ethiopian traditional music where you would move from one, you know, what I would call the movement to another, or is that something that just happened in this particular beat?
I think it's something, I mean, it may be part of Ethiopian music, but I'm not aware of it. It's something that we just melded together off of like one giant musical compromise. Yeah. You know, that happened.
I mean, and we took the blowtorch to it too, because those were really separate feeling. Yeah. We had to, you know, we had to really mash it together.
I have to give props to Pete Kamash from The Beast. He the glue really was this baseline that he laid down at the end.
That holds it all together. Well, so was there, is there conflict? How do you bring these things together? You're talking about blowtorch. I mean, how do the students feel about, you know, you doing this to their music, or how much intervention is there in your part?
Well, you can, I mean, there was, I wouldn't call it conflict. Really, it's like, the first word that came to my mind was there was a lot of conflict. Really, it was like there were different ideas. Mm-hmm. And so there was one camp of students, like the beginning, you hear this kind of war cry. That was like a traditional Ethiopian war chant. And there's this one really charismatic student who is adamant that this be a part of the song. Then there was this was Beatmaking Lab was the most gender diverse one we've ever had. It was like about 60-40 women to men, eight women, six guys. And so there was a camp of women that were all really interested in singing, and there were poets that wanted to do poetry. So between the two songs, we think every camp of our students got represented. You know, there's a poem, and several of our students wrote poems that didn't end up on beats that we released. But there was a poetry aspect. There's kind of the war chant, kind of hype building aspect, and then there's the singing, which is another. The part that, you know, there was a group of women that were really interested in developing that part and writing the lyrics, crafting the lyrics. There was a lot of back and forth between the women over what the direction for the lyrics would be, which Desielau means feels good. So this is supposed to be like, you know, an anthem about, you know, health and wellness and, you know, feeling good. And so your future and your family planning is really about feeling good about health and being optimistic about your future.
Well, what about that theme? I mean, how much are you imposing on them when you walk in and say, we want to talk about AIDS and family planning? You say, well, the kids don't, I don't, you know. I mean, that could happen, it seems to me. Did that, and did you, is it a hard sell to get, and what does it do to the music when you say, and here's your theme, it's what IntraHealth wants?
Yeah, that's a great question.
That's a good question.
And, you know, there was a couple moments. It did feel like an obstacle in some ways, but it's also an opportunity to do something really unique and inventive. So, you know, one thing, Laura from IntraHealth really had a great idea. To, instead of saying family planning, why don't you say future planning, which is basically very, very similar, especially for youth. Mm. So that was another place that we actually called the most recent song we did with IntraHealth Future Planning. And we really just did some writing exercises around what is health in general? How does that mean? What does that mean for you? And try to keep it as general as possible and let the students come with what is real in their life. And it's, you know, I think it's good to have a focus and try not to enforce agenda, but really invite a conversation around a topic.
Yeah, and especially if you're listening. I mean, the fact is everybody is concerned about health and these issues one way or another. So if it does come from them and you just open, you know, you sort of open up the topic, find out what comes out. And that sounds like what you did in the writing exercises. And what do you think about when you think about health? And then it's kind of coming from them. Pretty organic. How about the appetite for traditional music? I mean, hip-hop is worldwide music. It's very popular in Africa. And these kind of beats, as you said, there are already clubs, you know, dedicated to this kind of music. Is there still much interest in traditional music? And was there a kind of a tension over whether to include traditional music in these beats?
Yeah, I mean, in Ethiopia and in every beat-making lab we've done, there's a cultural dialogue taking place between the younger generation that's really into this culture and then the elders who, you know, who didn't grow up with it and who are more rooted in a traditional musical background. And there was definitely some of that intergenerational dialogue going on in Ethiopia and Fiji and in other places as well. But I think, you know, one of the brilliant things about music and art and culture generally is that there's always an intergenerational dialogue going on. And even in this country, you know, with young people, you know, taking and sampling jazz, you know, that kind of ruffles the feathers of some of the elders in our community here. So I don't see it as like, I see that as a universal thing. You know, whenever there's a young, vibrant youth culture that young people are into and they're shaking their hips to, you know, that can cause some controversy with people that didn't grow up with that tradition. But again, like Steven said, I think it's more than a challenge, much more than a challenge. It's an opportunity to create dialogue. And, you know, when young people are excited about something as they are about hip hop culture, that dialogue can go into the most interesting directions, whether it's about health or, you know, anything.
Well, that I think brings up, I think, something that one of your students, Galila, was talking about. And you can hear her in the PBS podcast, but she talks about this. Let's listen.
I think people have a power to communicate. If we don't have speak in English, Amharic, any word, any language, but we can communicate each other by music.
Communicate with everybody except her father initially, right? I mean, he was somebody who was a little skeptical. Tell us that story.
Yeah. So Galila's dad, you know, like a lot of parents out there, you know, you want your kid to be engaged in something that you can make a living doing. And there's, I think, a little bit of a stigma, you know, with musicians, particularly in hip hop, you know, musical form that her father wasn't familiar with, that, you know, you should be in school, you know. But ultimately, her dad supported her decision and her passion to be interested in music. And so one of our filmmakers, David Hambridge, went to her house, met her father, really connected with them. And when we went back to Ethiopia, Galila was really adamant that we reconnect with their father while we were there. We didn't end up just with our schedule having time to meet with them, but it was really endearing, I thought, for her to be so interested in continuing to involve her as like a part of her family and a part of her future.
Where do the students take this? Obviously, it's a great creative exercise and a way for them to explore, in this case, issues like health. You know, is there a way that they can carry this on? Can they make a living?
Yeah. There's like a two-phased approach to that question. We definitely like to teach entrepreneurship. We learn a lot about the local opportunities that are available and try to find opportunities for them. We connected with a production company called Zelleman, who does like the airline commercials and, you know, different documentaries. He said, when you have a student that's ready, come to me and I'll find an opportunity for them to score some things for either commercial or film. And then on an international level, with Pearson, myself's involvement in the music industry, now it's a, you know, we're a contact for them. If they ever had a beat for an artist, any artist that we've worked with, or we have connections in a lot of places. So, you know, we're now a place for them to just do that traditional place that a producer would have to sell a beat to an artist, but also just encouraging, like Pierce and I, having this opportunity to do Beat Making Lab with PBS, just really trying to encourage some creative, innovative thinking of how can you make your living as a musician.
And I'll just to add a little bit to that, you know, there's computer skills are being taught, you know, that they can take, you know, into a professional career. There's lots of different angles and twists and ways that the curriculum we're offering and the resources we're donating to these spaces can benefit their lives, whether they're interested in music. I mean, Frank, we were talking before the show about editing audio, and so being able to take a waveform and chop it up, you know, there's lots of different applications.
Yeah, and Salim, one of our biggest success stories is a student named Geis in Congo who won an award from a French website called Mondo Blog after taking a social media training from our filmmaker, Salim Reshamwala, during our time there. So there's lots of unexpected outcomes other than just a traditional, how do you make a living as a musician?
Yeah, well, and, you know, just building the confidence, I would think, just to know that you can make something. You're not just a consumer. You're a producer. You can do something, and it sounds good, and everybody around you acknowledged how great it sounds. That can be huge for a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and another thing, I don't know if, I can say it. I'll say it. This is North Carolina Public Radio.
Yeah. Nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening. But anyway, I got an email the other day from Richard Nichols of The Roots. He's, you know, Questlove of The Roots. He's their manager, and I've been in contact with him over the years. And I was actually in Ethiopia when he hit me up, and he's like, he told me, if any of your students have beats that are worthy of the next Roots album, send them to me. That was the quote that he sent.
He didn't ask for Apple Juice Kid beats. He asked for, Beat Making Lab.
Beat Making Lab.
Sounds like that's a great story. That would be awesome to have one of the beats from one of the students. So, yeah, it's already resonating in the music industry.
Totally.
And keep up the good work. Where are you going next?
Next up, actually, North Carolina, right here at home. We're doing a a big we built a studio on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, and we're actually working with WUNC on a program next year.
I love those folks in public radio. They're great.
They're great.
Are you a sustainer? Stephen Levitin, the Apple Juice Kid, Pierce Freelon. They run the Beatmaking Lab. WUNC is partnering with the Beatmaking Lab in the town of Chapel Hill on a youth-oriented project this spring. It's part of WUNC's American Graduate Project. You can find out more about that and everything in the world at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we preview William Konosky's new novel, Kara Was Here. Stay tuned.